Blog Talk Radio.
Your Rides Talk Live starts now. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. I'm Vinny. I'm your host. No guest today. We got a lot of racing to cover. Xfinity and the Cup Series are at the Monster Mile, going for the Golden Miles Trophy. 50th anniversary, 100th race at the event. Now in the books. And also, the first race of the round of 12. It's really pretty interesting how this is going to shake out. You have Dover, then you have Talladega coming up. And if I'm not mistaken, the week after that will be Martinsville. Look through my schedule here. Oh, no, we got Kansas. Kansas is the elimination race for the round of 12, which brings it down to the round of 8. which kicks off in Martinsville on the 27th of this month. You got Martinsville, Texas ISN, which is Phoenix, chopping it to the round of four, all culminating on November the 17th in Homestead, Miami. For championship weekend. Ford championship weekend. Ford sponsoring the whole weekend. And that's how that goes. I think the 2020 schedule doesn't seem to be out. Oh, here we go. Here's 2020. It all changes next year. The end of the season will be at Phoenix. And Martinsville will be the elimination race. Let's see what we got here. You got Daytona, then you have February 16th, then you got Vegas, Auto Club, first Phoenix, Atlanta, Homestead is now in March. You got Bristol, first Richmond race, Talladega, Dover, May 3rd, then Martinsville. Then you got the All-Star Weekend. Then the weekend after that, Memorial Day, is still Charlotte, the Coke 600, or Coke Zero 600, or whatever Coke product 600 they're going to advertise in Kansas, Michigan, June 7th, and June 14th, Sonoma, then June 21st, Chicagoland, June 27th and 28th, two races in 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, at Pocono, so they're doing a doubleheader weekend. And you got to go out to Indy. Then Dover loses its playoff status. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Darlington kicks off the playoffs. Daytona ends the regular season. Indianapolis, the Brickyard 400, moves to 4th of July weekend. I don't know how they messed up this schedule, but it's kind of weird. Anyway, we'll look at that better at the year's end. So, ARCA was in action, NHRA was not. They will be in action. Being we had a couple guests on last week, Mike Lewis from Dover, and Dina Parisi, who will be racing in the NHRA in the Pro Mod division next year. Took the year off last year, ran Pro Mod in IHRA. Won the championship there, then went for the National Muscle Car Association. So she's going to the big house, and we'll have her on. Again, like to wish a happy birthday to Erica Enders. It's her birthday today. I'd like to get her back on the show. She hasn't been on yet this year. We'll see what we can do. But things change. She's having a tough year, but she's in the playoffs, and she started off really well. As a matter of fact, let's look at the NHRA standings. First, we'll start with the top fuel division. You got a heated battle between Doug Kalita and Steve Torrance. Kalita with a 2-point lead over Torrance. Then you have Mike Salinas, Brittany Force. We're looking at maybe one round of competition. So Brittany's 7 behind Salinas. Salinas having a good run this year. It's probably the best he's done since I've been covering the sport. Leah Pritchett, 5th. Antron Brown, off year for him. He's 6th. Richie Cranton, 7th. Austin Proc, the rookie in the top 10. He's 8th. Steve Torrance's father, Billy, 9th. And then Clay Milligan rounds out the top 10 there. There's a lot of ground to make up with only 4 races to go, so it's going to be a tough call. Let's check the funny car division. Robert Height has a 13-point lead over his boss, John Force. Fast Jack Beckman is in 3rd, 24 back. That's a couple of round wins there. Could close that up. Ronnie Capps in 4th, J.R. Todd 5th. Bob Taskin 6th, he's 79 out. Here's where it gets iffy. Sean Langdon is 7th. He's looking for his second funny car win in a row. He's down at, what was that, Richie Crampton? He's looking for a second win at Charlotte coming up this weekend. It's not the 4 wides, but he is. He's a top fuel champ. He has been on the show before, so just to let everybody know. He's 80 back. That's one event to make up, provided everybody ahead of him bows out and he gets a clean run all the way and wins the final. So it'd take him a couple races to make up. But when you're talking a couple of 324 points, that's doable for Beckman. Tommy Johnson Jr. in 8th, Matt Hagen 9th, and Tim Wilkerson in the top 10. He's 126 back, so that's a lot of ground to make up, and there's too many guys out there that would have to have bad weeks for him to make up that ground. Pro Stock. The gap has closed. Erica Enders, birthday girl, started this countdown as the runner-up. The weekend before, she took the Wally. So she is now 2nd behind Jason Line, 11 points back. Another good weekend. She could be leading the charge, always rooting for her. Bo Butner, he's down the 30s, the defending champion. He's only 22 back. Then here's where it spreads out a bit. You have Matt Hartford in 4th, Alex Laughlin in 5th, Jake Coughlin in 6th. Now you're talking everybody up above them would have to have a few bad weeks for them to gain ground. Then you have Greg Anderson in 7th. 107 back, Derek Kramer, 8th, Chris McGahey, 9th, and then Val Smellen. 192 back, that's hard to do with 4 events and all that competition ahead of you. You might be building toward next year, because it's just the way it seems. And the Pro Stock Motorcycle, Andrew Hines. Karen Stouffer, who come off a win, is only 34 back. That'd be great to see her take the big Wally. Eddie Krawick is 30, 51 back. He's not out of it, but the gap is a little bit bigger. 34 can be made up. I always say it's either Andrew Hines or Eddie Krawick. Defending champ Matt Smith, he's 4th. He's 61 back. Jerry Savoy is 5th. Hector Arana Jr. is 6th. Angel Sampe, the winningest woman in NHRA, is 7th. Angie Smith is 8th. Ryan Oler is 9th, and Hector Arana Sr. rounds out the top 10. At 66 back fifth place, Jerry Savoie is not out of the woods, so he can definitely jump Matt Smith in fourth. He's 5 points behind him and 15 behind Krawick in third, so catches the right person at the right time, and let's say he catches Krawick in round one and then moves on a few rounds, that gap's chopped or caught, so Andrew Hines, he's the one that everybody's gunning for right now. So, we'll see what happens this weekend. ARCA in action. For the HERS Potato Chips 200. At the Lucas Oil Raceway in Brownsburg, Indiana. It's just outside of Indy. Xfinity used to run there before they got the Brickyard gig. NHRA runs there. So that's where the drag strip's located. Not associated with Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but close enough by that they say we run an Indy. Of course, that is the site of the end of the NHRA Mellow Yellow regular season in the U.S. Nationals. It's a big event. So anytime anybody can say they won at Indy, I don't care what division you're in, it always looks good. So king of the track for the weekend was Chandler Smith. Christian Eckes was second. Sam Mayer was third. Corey Haim, fourth. Ellie Deegan ran that race. She was fifth. Good for her. She's been in it off and on. Michael Self, sixth. Travis Braden, eighth. Brett Holmes, Travis Braden, seventh. Michael Self, sixth. Excuse me. Brett Holmes, 8th. Carson Hocevar, 9th. Rounding out the top 10 was Joe Graff Jr. Let's check the standings. Your top 10, Christian Eckes now leads Michael Self by a whopping 20 points. Brett Holmes is third, Travis Braden fourth, Joe Graff Jr. is fifth, Tommy Vi Jr. is sixth, Brad Smith is seventh, Tim Richmond eighth, Corey Haim ninth, and Chandler Smith is tenth. It was a Dick Doheny, but Chandler Smith overtook them the next event. Is the Kansas 150 at the Kansas Speedway. That'll be a couple of weeks from now. And I think that pretty much wraps up the season. Yes, it does. So they will be crowning a championship after this one. Of course, they'll have their banquet in mid-December at the Indiana Convention Center near Lucas Oil Stadium. So, this race, the Kansas 150, will be on FS2, Fox Sports 2. So we'll have another racing season wrapping up. Indy wrapped up. NHRA has four to go, so it'll be three after this weekend. Just all winded down. So it should be interesting to see what we can do. Maybe we'll bring in some up-and-comers in the off-season. It's hard to believe that a few short months ago, we're looking for the beginning of the season. Now we're facing the end of the season. But that's usually what happens. I'm surprised they didn't have Grand Funk Railroad in the media center for press conference. I would have loved to have talked to him. If I was there, I probably would have went to where the stage was and hounded him for a little bit. I like to get different opinions of different people that go to races. Joe Walsh was there not too long ago. And I remember when Dave Mustaine of Megadeth drove the pace car at Watkins Glen. So, you know. Let's see what we got going on. Okay, the K&N, the Monster Mile, was the final race there. Thought I had that. Oh, yeah, there we go. Home tracks. They'll have the Canaan East results. Sam Mayer, who also runs in ARCA, is running both. Takes the win at the Monster Mile in the Canaan East. Won the pole as well. The General Tire 125. I'm looking for the results, but I don't see that. That was the end of the season for the K&N East. I'm sure the West as well, too. So, see if we can find that. So, he only ran six races in K&N. There we go, race results. Take a look. Led 123 of 125 laps. Tanner Gray. Finished second, led two of the three open laps. Now he led the only other two laps. Todd Gilliland finished third, who is Dave Gilliland's son. Dave Gilliland owns Tanner Gray's car. Bo Lemastis owns Todd Gilliland's car. Drew Dollar was fourth. Chase Cabre was fifth. Sixth, Max McLaughlin, Spencer Davis. Is that a musician? Spencer Davis Group? Anyway. Was seventh, Ruben Garcia Jr., eighth. Ninth, Brandon McReynolds. And tenth is Justin Carroll. Oh, they do have... stages. That said, break one and break two. Lap leader breakdown. Sam Mayer led first 32, then Tanner Gray led the next one. And Sam Mayer led the next 30. And then Tanner led the next one. And then Tanner Gray led the rest. So apparently Sam Mayer pitted for fuel. That's the way I'm at. I didn't see the race. I wasn't at the Monster Mile. I haven't been there since 2011. That's 8 years. And Dover is a tough track, so 14 cars in the event. So, it was how many cautions? I'm looking at three. The Kane and East is a little different. Setup than the main NASCAR stuff. So, anywhere, that's your roundup for the Kane and East General Tire 125 at the Monster Mile. If I had been there, I would have got Tanner Gray for an interview. Going from pro stock champion into oval track racing. Makes you kind of interesting. And we'll see what we can do. I'll track him down during the off season. His off season, not mine. My Garage Tote Live goes all year long. Anyway, Xfinity Series, which was your Saturday event at the Monster Mile. Sam Mayer did win a golden Miles the Monster trophy. Everybody that wins gets a Miles the Monster trophy because that's their given thing. And being it was the 50th, it all depends on the size. Of course, I think Mike Lewis told us that the cup one weighs about 60 pounds. The other one's not as big, but it's still a heck of a trophy. I mean, you win that there. When they used to run Nashville Super Speedway, they got a Sam Bass painted Gibson Les Paul, which, remember, Kyle Busch smashed in Victory Lane, thinking he was Hendrix or Pete Townsend of the Who. It was a one-of-a-kind thing that he damaged. I don't know why, but he had a moment. I would have gotten a standard one and mashed it. But if you win Martinsville, you win a grandfather clock. Not a small trophy. Something has to be transported very carefully, at least a guitar, you get a guitar case, and the Miles the Monster is, it's a big trophy, a big statue, but It's not a grandfather clock. Alrighty, let's see what we have here. Christopher Bell takes the win. He's on a roll this year. I'm probably going to pick him to win the Xfinity Championship this year. Wonder if he's going to be moving the Cup next year. And with who? Because you figure he's driving for Joe Gibbs. He's in the 20 car. There's a lot of talent in the Gibbs organization. Because you got Hamlin, Truex, Kyle Busch. Another, I can't remember who the fourth one is. See, Hamlin's in the 11, Kyle Busch in the 18, Truex in the 19, and you have the 20 car. Let me look real quick. It's nice having data at your hand. Erik Jones. Duh. So, therefore, it's going to be pretty interesting. The mellow yellow. Use your melon drive, not mellow yellow. Use your melon drive sober 200. Right, that's the points report. Where is the results? I hate when they do this. There we go. I think they screwed up. Maybe not. Cole Custer won the race. Austin Cindric was second. Justin Allgaier, third. Christopher Bell, fourth. Chase Briscoe in fifth. Tyler Reddick, sixth. Noel Gragson, seventh. Michael Annette, eighth. John Hunter Nemechek was ninth. And Justin Haley rounds out the top 10. And from what I can see, everybody in the top 10 and top 12. I think that's the playoffs. Okay. Cole Custer wins, but they... They don't have the results here. Everything but the results. They have driver points and then driver points and owner points. Way to go, NASCAR. Oh, here we go. Cole Custer wins. Here we go. Justin Allgaier second. Austin Cindric third. Justin Haley fourth. Chase Briscoe, fifth. Michael Annette, sixth. Noah Gragson, seventh. John Hunter Nemechek, eighth. Zane Smith, ninth. And Ryan Sieg rounds out your top 10. There were 9 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. Chase Briscoe led once for 71 laps, so he led the final charge of the race. 6 cautions for 33 laps, 2 of those stage enders. So take 11 laps off of that for and 2 cautions. The other 4 for 22 laps were for incidents. It's just pretty clean for Dover, really, when you look at it. We had a 4-car incident on lap 2. Then lap 22, you had another one for 5 laps. Then at the end, you had 189 through 193. And that was the only other multi-car one there. So race was 1 hour, 51 minutes, 29 seconds. Average speed, 107.63 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1 second. It was Custer's 9th victory in the Xfinity Series. Who was your pole sitter? Chase Briscoe won the pole. Let's see. Now we can go check the points. Cole Custer does lead the points over Austin Cindric. That's what I was reading before. Justin Allgaier is third. Christopher Bell is fourth. Now Bell and Cole Custer have 7 wins apiece. When it comes down to elimination, playoff points. Well, not talking about elimination. I'm talking about actually, yeah, because playoff points come into play and keep somebody from being eliminated, especially when they get down to the round of 4. But with them going to Talladega next week, it's going to get pretty interesting. Chase Briscoe is in 5th spot. Tyler Reddick is 6th. Noah Gragson, 7th. Michael Annette is in 8th. John Hunter, Nemechek is 9th. Justin Haley, 10th. Ryan Sieg and Brandon Jones. So I haven't seen anybody eliminated yet. I thought that would have been an elimination race. I think that's what Mike Lewis said, but NASCAR didn't update it. Let me check the other driver points and see what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. That's the updated one. That's showing the cutoff at 8. Gragson being the last in the round of 8. So then I'll have 3 more, and then 4 more will get chopped, which will be the round of 4. So everybody's got to fight at Talladega. And let's go hear from our winner.
If I can have your attention, please, in the media center, we are going to now start with our post-race press conference for the 34th annual Use Your Melon Drive Sober to NASCAR Xfinity Series, joined by driver Cole Custer, driver of the number 00 Production Alliance Group Board, Crew Chief Mike Shiplett. Let's go ahead and open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll give a wireless microphone to you. Questions for our race-winning team. We'll start with Noah and go to Davey.
Noah Lewis, PSJ Sports. Cole, can you walk us through your feeling when that caution came out and you guys were up front playing that strategy that cycled you to the lead?
I thought it was good. I mean, you don't know till everybody cycles around, but I think I knew that we were probably in a good spot staying out late there. So just a great pit call by Mike. I mean, to stay out, and you know, it's almost all about track position here. So whatever you can do on strategy or a good pit stop to try and get some track position is what you need to do.
David Siegel with Front Stretch. Justin said that if you guys were on even tires, he felt like he might have been just as good, if not better than you. Do you think that if you guys were on even tires, you'd still be able to hold him off to have that comparing track position, or was it more of a toss-up?
It's a toss-up. I think we were fairly equal in the short run. I think the long run, it seemed like we were definitely catching him. So, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think definitely clean air is definitely king.
you're next to Bob. Bob Packer, Fox Sports. Cole, just what does you'd already clinched a spot in the next round, but what does the win mean and beyond the playoff points you earned?
I think it's confidence. Obviously, going into Kansas and Texas, we can just go in there and know that we're firing on all cylinders and we can go in there and win. So it's just having confidence on your first lap you hit the track, and I think we're going to go in there next round and really be one to fight with.
And also, with every win, do you get more and more anxious to know what you're doing next year?
You really just live in the moment. I think it is what it is. You try and, you win as many races as you can, and whatever happens, happens, but usually it fixes itself.
Pat DeCole, NASCAR.com. Cole, when we spoke yesterday, you told me you were itching to get this gold trophy. So what's going to happen with it now?
I'm going to go in my living room or something somewhere. I've wanted to win this race for such a long time. I think almost we got really close here a couple times in the truck and then a couple times in the Xfinity car, and now to finally win it's pretty huge. So it's obviously the trophy everybody wants, and, the track everybody wants to win it. So it's pretty huge.
Dustin? Justin Long, NBC Sports. Cole, I know this was the 100th Xfinity start for you. Obviously, that number can be a milestone for a lot of drivers. How do you see how you progress from 1 to 100, and where do you feel like you progress from next 100, wherever?
It's been huge, honestly. I think you look at the progression of me, and I think the progression of our team also. I think, when we started, it was a new team, and we had really fast cars. It was just a matter of gaining experience, me and the team, I think, and Mike coming on this year was huge, bringing even more experience. So it's been huge for sure.
And to follow up that, Mike, you work with a lot of drivers, and obviously, Cole had some experience coming in. How has he progressed? What are the things you've tried to refine in this year together with him?
Cole is a very good driver, very exceptional, very good at what he does. It's just fine-tuning everything, getting 100% all the time. That's what we're looking for, is just being 100% all the time. He's been restarts, the long run speed, short run speed. Just keep working on everything and making it just a little bit better.
We're also joined by Dale Salen, CEO of Production Alliance. Undefeated on the car here. Talk about your thoughts on today's action.
Yeah, it's incredible to be part of this awesome team. Mike and Stuart Haas, obviously Cole, first to win at our race in Fontana, Production Alliance Group 300. That's where I met Cole. And then to win now at Darlington here. So we're pretty excited. We're 3 for 3. So we're very pumped. So super excited to be a part of this team.
That's awesome. Any additional questions here in the deadline room? Gentlemen, congratulations on the win, and good luck.
Thank you.
There you have Cole Custer and his crew chief, Mike Shipley, driving the number 00. For Production Alliance Group Ford. I thought it was Stuart Haas, but I guess not. Maybe next year we're looking at the 41. Oh, that's Suarez. Or the 14 with Mr. Clint Boyer. I don't think Harvick's going anywhere, so we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, main event of the weekend, the 100th Dover Cup race. For the 50th anniversary for the second gold Miles the Monster trophy of the year, Martin Truex Jr. won the last one. He was looking for this one, but he had a tough battle. He only led one time for 15 laps. The weather was overcast, so it was pretty cool there. But it came down to a couple of guys. Denny Hamlin, who started from the pole, led four times for 218 laps. So he led the most laps of the race. But it wasn't the last one, the important one. The guy who did win did lead 154 laps, led four times. So you're looking at 172 of the 400 laps led by two guys. But he wound up taking the win, and that was Kyle Larson in the Clover Chevy. I thought Harvick was going to have a better year, but we'll get to him in a minute. Martin Truex Jr. did take second. But Larson wins the Golden Monster. He locks in the round of eight. This was the first race of the round of 12. So everything comes down to points or Talladega and then Kansas. So we'll have to see what happens there. Kansas, Talladega can be a crapshoot. We'll get to that one later. Who I'm going to pick. Alex Bowman finished third. Kevin Harvick finished fourth. He started fourth, finished fourth, and has number four. So it's 4-4-4 all the way across the board. And Busch Beer all Harvick Ford because it was had his own name on the hood. Said Harvick Beer. But it was still the Busch Beer colors. So that was pretty interesting. Denny Hamlin, who was your pole sitter, finished fifth and led the most laps. Kyle Busch wound up sixth. Coming back from 18th, Matt DiBenedetto. Where's this guy coming from? I think he's landed a good ride for next year, too. He started 20th, finished 7th. Jimmy Johnson pretty much has most of the wins all time at the Monster Mile, was 8th. Kurt Busch was 9th. He has a win there when he drove for Penske. Clint Boyer rounds out the top 10. So you figure DiBenedetto, Johnson, and Busch, Kurt, were not in the playoffs. Johnson was eliminated last race before that. And DiBenedetto and Johnson missed it altogether, which is rare for Johnson. But this is his first year without Chad Knaus. So I think Chad went over to the 24 with William Byron. So, who finished 13th, by the way? So, he's in the playoffs. He's a rookie. And old Front Row Joe, who started almost last, wound up 30th. So, good run for Joe. You don't see him in a race car too often, so good to see him back. I guess that Golden Mile of the Monster kind of drew some people out, including Reed Sorensen, Ross Chastain making a cup start. Chase Elliott, not a good day for him. Hooters Give a Hoot Chevrolet. It was all pink, I guess, for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. He wound up dead last, had engine problems. Joey Logano was out for a while. He got back out there and wound up 34th after starting 14th. The race took 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 49 seconds. It took less than 3 hours, so it must have ran pretty clean. We'll find out in a little bit. Average speed, 135.734. Margin of victory, 1.578 seconds. There were three cautions for 17 laps. There you go. Told you it was pretty clean. Two of those were stage conclusions, that for a total of 13 laps, so there was only four for an incident, and that was four laps long from 9 to 12 for debris. probably off of Chase Elliott's car because his motor let go. He only completed 8 laps. Must have threw some chunks out on the ground. So that, you don't get a race in Dover that clean ever. That's the cleanest one that I can recall ever seeing. I mean, they were showing highlights of Joey Logano flipping like a car at Talladega on the backstretch the one year. Yeah, it was pretty wild, that one. But no, this one was a clean race. When you get a race that normally takes 4 hours, done in less than 3, I guess all the workers were probably happy. They got out of there a little quick. It was the Larson's sixth victory in 213 Cup races, his first this year, and his first victory in 9th top 10 in 12 races at Dover. So he's only been in the series, I guess, to have only 12 races at Dover in the Cup Series, that's six years, 2 races a year. It was Truex's second. He finished second at 16th top 10 in 28 races at Dover, and his 19th top 10 in this year. So here's your points leaders. Martin Truex leads the points over Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch, who are tied. They got Busch listed as second. Let me see why. There's got to be some tie-breaking inference. Both have 4 wins. Truex has 6 wins. Playoff points. They should have listed it that way. Kevin Harvick is 4th in the points. So 4-4-4-4. 4 fours. He's got 6 wins. He's got 3 wins. And then you got Kyle Larson, who's now in 5th place in the points. Overall, but he's already locked in to the round of 8 with that win. Brad Keselowski is 6th. Alex Bowman is 7th. William Byron is 8th. 9th, Joey Logano, Clint Bowyer 10th. Chase Elliott is 11th and on the bubble. 15 points back is Ryan Blaney. So that could all change next week, except for Kyle Larson, who's locked in. Maybe his point standings will differ, but he's already locked in. So let's hear from our winner, and then we'll see who I'm going to pick for next week. Or I should say this week. There's Kyle Larson.
We're going to wrap up our media availability here at Dover International Speedway for today's Driving 400. We are joined by our race winner, Kyle Larson, the driver of the number 42 Clover Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi Racing. We will open up the questions. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start here with Noah.
Noah Lewis, CSJ.com/101sports.com. Kyle, I asked the same thing to Chad. Other than the All-Star race, this is the first win since Richmond in 2017. How necessary and how special was it for the team?
Yeah, it's always good to win, but to end a win this drought was good. It's not a shock either. You know, I feel like we've been running really well this year, aside from the beginning of the year, and even in the beginning of the year, we were still at some good speed. I was just making a lot of mistakes, so we've been able to clean up what we've been doing on race days and executing and going about the races more patiently. So our car's been getting better the last couple months, so it was good to dominate a race like we did today.
Can you go to the far right, Zach?
Zach Chernil, the Open Record NASCAR Wire, sir. But Kyle, knowing that you've got the win here today, you're through the next round, do you feel like this makes you an immediate threat for this championship to get to those rounds?
I don't know. Depending on who makes it out of this round, I'm still going to be a ways back on point to, Martin, Kyle, Kevin, Joey to start the next round. Start today, I was like 18 points back of Keselowski. So, like, that's still, you know, a lot to overcome. You know, it's going to be even bigger probably to start the next round. So, but, you know, Texas, we could go there and win. We could go to Phoenix and have a good shot to win. Martinsville, hopefully we could go have a good run there. But we'll see. So it's just nice to, you know, get a win, get some playoff points, and just kind of chip away at our deficit that we're in. Not in, but, you know, compare to those guys.
David Siegel with Front Stretch. So this is the first time that Chip can actually race. He's on the round of eight, as well as yourself. You've been very loyal to Chip. He said as much. Does that kind of give this win a little bit of an extra meaning to you?
Yeah, I mean, Chip's had opportunity to win a championship, I think, one other time, maybe, and I think Sterling Marlin got hurt that year. So, you know, he was probably going to win the championship that season had he not gotten hurt. So, you know, it'd be nice to get him that championship that he's honestly, you know, probably owed. So, yeah, it's to move on to the next round special, but we're not just satisfied with being in the round of eight. You know, we want to go and make it into that final round at Homestead. You know, it's my best track. You know, it's the final year for the championship race to be at Homestead. So I've looked at it, you know, this ever since they released your next year's schedule, this is my best opportunity to win the championship. So I got to take advantage of that.
Any additional questions for Kyle? We'll go to Dustin.
Dustin Long at NBC Sports. Kyle, I know obviously you've won a different series, won different things. You've won in the last year. But what does winning this race mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the team? I think you've always heard it like, hey, it's Miami, it's a favorite. You've got to get there. You've got to win races. You guys have done that, building that consistency. What does winning today mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to win in any series, like you said. You know, that helps. You know, I think that helps me feel like it hasn't been a long time since I've won a race, or even in the Cup Series. You know, I was won sprint car races this year. I've won midget races this year, go-kart races. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like that long. But, you know, I feel like our cars have been capable of winning, you know, I ran second 9 times, I think I heard, since my last win. So, you know, we've challenged, and we've been close to winning. But, yeah, you know, it's just haven't put it all together. Yeah, I'm sure there's some of those races where I finished second without a expected car, probably overachieved. But I feel like I've definitely given up, you know, 5 or 6 since then. But, yeah, you know, I feel like, yeah, look at the really good guys, and, you know, I'm comparable to speed on them, but they just, whatever it is, you know, they can go out there and do what it takes to win at the end of the race. Where I've been trying to get a lot better at that and figure out, you know, what that even is to win. But yeah, we just gotta keep doing what we've been doing. You know, I feel really good about our stuff. Feel really good about our team right now. So go on to Talladega and, you know, try and win there. You know, I said we'll be there, you know, with no stress, but I still want to go out there and do what I can to win, as well as, you know, help our Chevy teammates, and just keep winning, because we gotta make more points up.
And when you talk about, you know, just trying to win in the series, obviously you know how to win in cars. What is the difference in what it takes to win here? I know there's a lot of ways to think there's some similar things, but
there you have Kyle Larson. Well, as we're almost out of time, let's take a look at what's going down for Talladega. Chase Elliott, who had a bad day at Dover earlier this year, had a great day at Talladega. He took the win. Alex Bowman, his teammate, was second. And then Ryan Preece was third in the 47 Chevy. And you had Joe Logano in fourth. And we'll take a look at this race last year. It was Amarola, Clint Bowyer, Ricky Stenhouse, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano. So I'm thinking see who led a lot of laps this year, that year. Kurt Busch led a lot. So, see who led a lot in April. It's pretty spread out. The biggest lap leader was your winner, Chase Elliott. So, I don't know. Tough call. Joey Logano was the consistent one. But I can't say the past couple. Let's see, the last year in this race, it was all Fords. The first three were Fords. This year, the first two were Chevys. Well, maybe I'll go with Chase Elliott this year. He'll have a bounce back with after Dover, so he's going to be my pick. His dad always did good there, so he probably might have him as a spotter. You never know. Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. So we'll look for Chase. This will, if he takes this, he'll lock into the round of eight, and then it all goes to Kansas. Well, that's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Vinny. See you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.